news and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show, KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
All right, your last chance to win tickets to see the Rolling Stones at State Farm Stadium. It happens on May 7th. Head over to the contest page at KTAR.com for complete details and your opportunity to win. Just found out that coming up at 11:35, we are going to have the county attorney joining us. Rachel Mitchell is going to join us to talk about the Gilbert Goon situation. There was a designation yesterday that they are a gang, but it's a hybrid gang. And I don't understand the designation. I don't understand the explanation, and I don't understand the significance. So we're going to get that information from the county attorney, what it means for her office, for law enforcement, for current cases, for future cases. We'll do that at 11:35. As far as the protests go, I largely think they should be ignored when they're just being a nuisance. There's a fine line. I think that when attention-starved people are looking for attention, ignoring them is the best thing you can do to offset them, because it enrages them and it eventually makes them go away if they're not getting the attention they want. That's how I feel. But when you have people that are trespassing, when you have people that are building things that are dangerous, when you have people that are doing things to stop other people and hinder other people's education, when you are blocking other people's free travel, when you are doing things like that, people have to intervene. I think ASU's intervention shows that if you do it early, it doesn't have to be violent and it doesn't have to be on a large scale. You send an early message about what will be tolerated and what won't. There are a couple of things that have happened here in Arizona. One of them was at ASU, where I think 72 people are arrested. The vast majority of those people had nothing to do with Arizona State University. Outside agitators coming onto ASU's campus, rallying young people to act like idiots and roping them into committing crimes. Now, they're adults. ASU students are adults. They're going to be held accountable. They should be held accountable. I agree with all of that, but these are outside agitators coming in. At Columbia University, and it's probably not the only place that it happens. They're bouncing all over the country. They're well-funded. I'd love to know who's funding them. They are being hired to go and train these protesters. There's a video that's out at Columbia University when they broke into the buildings at Columbia University where she's instructing students, all right, zip tie that table to the door, do this, do that, move the cameras over here, stand over there, do this. She's instructing them. She calls herself a professional protest consultant. But on ASU's campus, they've begun to gather again in what's called, they call the Liberated Zone. I love this. They've always got big, shiny names as if they're making a difference, and they're not. I played a little bit of this earlier. I'm going to try not to be redundant with all of it, but you have to start at the beginning. So this, first of all, is a student that says he's speaking on behalf of ASU students. Well, no, you're not. You're speaking on a behalf of a very small group of students that happen to be standing there with you, not the vast majority of students. But here's what he had to say.
We, the students of Arizona State University, have had our voices silenced and our disagreement with President Crow's administration violently oppressed. We will be silent no longer.
There's no violence. And this is the other part of this. These self-indulgent, self-important people are just absolutely showing how ridiculous they are. At the UCLA campus, the protesters at UCLA's campus put up tents, and then they began to fortify their position. They took big sheets of plywood, the 4x8 sheets of plywood. They screwed handles on them, like handles that would be for a cupboard. Then you would use them as shields. They had pallets they used. They cut garbage cans up and used them as shields as well. And it turned violent there. But at UCLA, the students at UCLA demanded food. They didn't only demand food, they demanded gluten-free and vegan options. Stop it. If you're not laughing, you should be. It's absolutely absurd. So ASU students talking about the police and vigilantes.
The police inflicted disproportionate violence on demonstrators of color, including forcibly removing hijabs and conducting extra invasive searches. All of this while assisted by university-sanctioned student vigilantes in throwing away donated and private student property.
Oh my gosh, these guys, no wonder they're oppressed. These students should be, they're going to need counseling. They're definitely going to need counseling. The fact of the matter is, you want to call them vigilantes. You know, I'm going to make this personal for a moment. Years ago, I stopped a shoplifting in progress. There were two young idiots that were shoplifting at a Circle K that I went to twice a day, 6 days a week. Everybody in that store knew my name, knew my kids, knew everybody in my family by first name, and I knew them as well. Every day, this was the corner store, and these two punks walked in, grabbed as much liquor as they could hold, and decided they were just going to walk past all of the people on staff and all of the neighborhood customers and walk out as if they owned the place and steal everything they could. And I looked at this kid and said, put it back. And it turned into a brawl. This kid was throwing liquor bottles at me. He was telling me he was going to kill me. Never threw a punch. This punk didn't have a chance at getting the upper hand on me, but I wasn't going to get on the ground and roll around with him. I didn't want to get sued. I kept him at bay until the police got there and they arrested him for aggravated assault and they arrested him for shoplifting. At his trial, where he pled guilty to both charges, I got an opportunity to speak to the judge. And I said to the judge, I intervened, but I didn't act violently. He acted violently. All I did was say, get away from me. I kept him off me. I took him to the ground when he attacked me, but I let him back up. And so then the defense attorney used the same idiotic defense this kid's saying, I started it. He didn't commit assault because I started it by stopping him from committing a crime. Vigilantes, what are you? That's what's so interesting here. You set up shop at a place where you're not invited. You set up shop where you're told you're trespassing, and you are. It's posted as trespassing. You set up at a place you're not allowed to be. The police approach you when they've got better things to do, and they tell you you can't be here. And then at some point, they say to you, you have a timeline. Anybody here who is here, anybody that is here after this time will be arrested. And that's exactly what they did. Isn't it interesting that you can beat drums and you can shout and chant, you can block pathways of other students walking by, and you're a noble protester. But if somebody does the same thing to you and they throw your property away and they chant USA or sing the national anthem or wave the American flag and not the Palestinian flag, those people are vigilantes. Do you not understand the elitist nonsense attitude you have? You started it and somebody else opposed you. That's what free speech is. You lost because you broke the law. Period. Period. A UCLA student was being hindered by two. This is an African-American, a black student on the UCLA's campus. He was pushing a stroller with his daughter, and I think his wife was with them. And he was pushing the stroller, and I don't know that the daughter was in it, but either way, it doesn't matter. They blocked his path. When he tried to go left, they went in front of him. When he tried to go right, they stepped in front of him. And he said, this is discrimination. You're two white men stopping a black man from going to where he needs to go. I'm going to report you to the campus. I'm going to report you for doing this. Well, we think you're just doing this is to be an agitator. He said, I'm the agitator. You don't let people pass on a public sidewalk. And he's the agitator. So I want you to think about that. If this guy did that, and then he pushed past them, would he be the one arrested for being violent? And I'll go back to a point I made earlier this morning. What if these protesters at Arizona State University and Stanford and Columbia University and in Texas and all over the country, what if instead of them wearing the cover on their heads that look like they do in Hamas or wearing a Hamas headband, what if they were wearing Nazi uniforms? What if these were neo-Nazis? What if they had a swastika on their arm? What if it was the Klan? What if they showed up in a hood? What then? Would they be considered peaceful protesters if they did exactly what these protesters are doing? They were blocking the way of students from getting to one class to the other, one side of the campus to the other. If they were chanting the same things, if they were waving swastikas instead of Palestinian flags, what would they be in your mind? Would that be okay? because it's happened in this country. The neo-Nazis and the Klan have gotten together and marched. Remember the Proud Boys, what they were labeled in this country. Yeah, something to think about. Coming up in a moment, we get you caught up on the biggest news stories of the day. We call it Did You Hear This? And we are going to get to it coming up here in just one moment.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
All right, let's get you caught up on the biggest headlines of the day. Did you hear this?
Did you hear this? Broomhead's reaction to the hottest news stories.
During a press conference yesterday, Gilbert Police Chief Michael Solberg announced that the Gilbert Goons have been classified as a criminal street gang, although he explained that this new designation does not bring any new charges.
In this case, as you mentioned, we are unable to charge these individuals that are in both of these gangs with additional charges of participating or assisting in a criminal street gang.
Will the designation as a gang help bring justice to the victims?
I don't know. I'm very confused by this press conference. I am confused by this designation. They're a gang, but they're not really a gang. They're a hybrid gang. And what's the difference between a hybrid gang and a real gang? And on top of all of that, we're going to not raise any charges. We don't know about the future. We're going to talk to the county attorney about this, and we're going to talk to her at 11:35 because I'm confused, as many people are. Is this going to help her office, and will it help bring justice? She'll be better able to answer that than me.
The Arizona State University Liberated Zone Group hosted a press conference yesterday and discussed the, quote, punitive treatment of students by ASU administration and police when they dismantled their encampment last weekend.
The use of violence and institutional discipline to disrupt a peaceful student demonstration violates students' constitutionally protected rights to free speech and assembly on public property.
Were the actions taken by ASU appropriate?
They were very appropriate. Yes, they were very appropriate. They were in a place they were trespassing. They were warned to get out. And people did to them what they were doing to other people. If you don't like it, don't start it. And that's just exactly what happened. I'm sorry. I have no sympathy for these people. And you've heard me speak for a long time about people's right to protest. I will support your rights to protest and express your rights under the First Amendment, even if I disagree with you. It's not just because I disagree with you. It's your entitled behavior. It's nonsense, and I think they just need to go away. You are listening to Did You Hear This? We do it every day at 11:20 to catch you up on the headlines.
The latest job numbers may nudge the Federal Reserve to lower interest rates sooner rather than later.
Economists surveyed by Dow Jones were expecting 240,000 jobs to be generated last month. The actual number came in at 175,000, with the unemployment rate creeping up slightly to 3.9%. Some analysts think the Fed may rethink its decision to leave interest rates where they've been since last July.
Are you concerned by April's sluggish job numbers?
No, well, yes. I mean, I'm always concerned when you see this. The big shining star and the big saving grace of this economy has been the ability to get the work you needed. How many? We set a record in March for the number of people doing what's called gig work. So that's the availability of extra employment has been the saving grace. If that goes away before inflation starts to dip, yeah, I am very, very concerned. But we knew this was going to happen. And if it does lower rates, maybe that's another silver lining.
Maricopa County Recorder Stephen Richard joined the show to explain how independent and undeclared registered voters can get ready for the primary election in July.
All they have to do is they have to let us know whether they want a Republican ballot or a Democratic ballot. We just mailed out to everyone who's on the active early voting list, and you'll have in your mailbox a nice little card that just says, pick whether you want the Republican ballot or the Democratic ballot. All you have to do is mark it and then put it back in the mail, and you'll get that ballot when it's time.
In this day age, you can't underestimate the importance of being an informed voter.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. And if you're someone that is party non-declared, you do have to ask for a ballot if you vote early. If you're going to go to the polls like I do on Election Day or one of the early voting locations, you will simply request a Republican or a Democrat ballot. It's just that simple. So it is really a time that all of our input is necessary. And with the huge number, largest voting demographic in Maricopa County is independent or party non-declared voters. We're going to need your input. Make sure you get that card filled out if you get it in the mail, or get online to the county recorder and let them know which ballot you want if you're an early voter, and let's make sure your voice is heard. great job this week, Julia. It's a very busy week. She did an excellent job, as always. What we are going to do is this. The big news came out yesterday at 1:30. There was a press conference, and the East Valley police chiefs gathered together, and they had a press conference designating the Gilbert Goons as a gang, as a street gang. But the explanation that was given, that it's what's called a hybrid gang, and what the difference is, what does it mean for them, the arrest they've made, the arrest they will make. But we're going to talk to the county attorney. Is this going to be helpful at the county attorney's office level for her to be able to then do different things with them and make sure the families get justice? We're going to have the county attorney on the show in just a few moments. She'll answer that question. Stick around.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
All right. There was a press conference yesterday afternoon at about 1:30, and East Valley police chiefs, law enforcement leaders were talking about enhancements in the charge, not in charges, in the cases. I'm trying to describe this the right way. The Gilbert Goons have been declared a street gang. So they're not just a street gang. They're not a full gang. It's like a hybrid gang. And I'm not trying to be facetious. I don't understand the significance. I don't understand how it helps law enforcement. It is not going to enhance the charges against criminals that have already been arrested. I don't know what it's going to do for cases that happen beyond that. So the issue is a strange one to me. And so what we've done is we've been told we're going to talk with the Maricopa County Attorney. We're waiting for Rachel Mitchell to join us. She's going from one place to the other. So we're hoping that she'll join us in a few moments. In the meantime, while we're waiting, I want you to hear a little bit of the description of what a hybrid gang is.
As you know, your traditional gang usually has one race or one ethnicity, and they have a territory that they claim. Hybrid gangs are usually mixed gender, mixed races, and all various ages. Also, your traditional gang has a code of conduct, typically. Hybrid gangs are mostly juvenile gangs, and they have no code of conduct or no hierarchy. The members also claim and participate in multiple gangs in your hybrid gangs. This is done to stall law enforcement on a documentation process, where traditional gangs, they stuck to their territory or their barrios or whatever they have, and they were proud of their gang name.
Now, so that's a little bit of the designation of what a hybrid gang is, and I'm not quite sure what that means. So we've reached out to the county attorney's office. We've asking for some clarification. Rachel Mitchell is joining us now. Thanks for doing this. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me, Mike.
All right. Can you explain, first of all, there was a big definition of what the difference is between what is a traditional gang and a hybrid gang. As far as your office is concerned, does that matter, that designation hybrid gang? Does that matter to your office at all?
No, I think it addresses some of the concerns that the community has, we've heard, which is this doesn't look like a traditional gang. But the reality is the law that enhances sentences or allows for, a crime to be involved if you are part of a gang and you're furthering that gang, it really doesn't impact whether it's a hybrid gang or a traditional gang. What matters is if you fit the definition of the statute.
So the law enforcement officials, the people that were talking about this yesterday, said it's not going to do anything with the add to charges or anything for the arrests that are happening. But could it add to the sentences if they're convicted?
Yes. So there's two ways that the gang designation becomes relevant. One is as a standalone crime, such as promoting a criminal street gang. That is a standalone crime. It can be either a class 2 or a class 3 felony. But there's also an enhancement. And what that is if you commit a felony with the intent to promote, further, or assist a street gang, that adds, depending on the level of felony, either 3 or 5 years to your sentence.
So in these kind, I know you can't be specific, but in these kinds of cases, what does that look like as far as furthering the cause of a street gang? Because in my mind, I think, all right, if you're dealing drugs for a gang, you are enriching that gang. If you're part of an organized crime unit, if you're in the mafia and you're kicking money up in the organization, that's obviously enhancing, you know, that is helping that gang along. What is it about these cases that would fit there in that enhancement?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. On types of cases like this, and I'm going to be a little bit more generic here. If the purpose of the gang is to intimidate or control or gain stature or notoriety through a variety of activities, not necessarily financial, that still could be argued to be promoting that prison, or I'm sorry, promoting that street gang.
All right. So then I love that we're doing this where it's like playing hypothetical ping pong. If you have a case, against a gang member and a fellow gang member is intimidating witnesses and intimidating, is that what you're talking about in this enhancement? They're furthering the gang stuff by going after witnesses and trying to get them to not testify or change their testimony. Is that similar to what you're talking about?
Yeah, that could be one example where you're trying to establish such a hold on people that they're afraid to come forward. You know, we've seen in the more traditional situations, people trying to get a hold on a neighborhood or a part of the community so that they can be, you know, get protection money, for example. So there are things that are not direct felonies that getting that gang name out there, that reputation, if you will, to control people does benefit the gang.
So with this in now having this kind of in your prosecutor's arsenal, do you expect this to be used in some of these cases? I'm not asking you to be specific, but when it comes to East mm-hmm. Valley violence, are you expecting some of these enhancements to be asked for in these cases?
It's something that we're going to look for in every single case as to whether it's appropriate to either charge or allege as an enhancement. But what I will say is in terms of the homicide case of Preston Lord, there was a full presentation made and, you know, obviously the grand jury decides what charges they're going to issue. And the charges that they issued involved the standard charges, not gang charges. And that doesn't mean that in the future more information would be developed that we couldn't use. We're going to keep our eyes open to anything that comes our way and implement that as part of the full case.
Maricopa County Attorney Rachel Mitchell is joining us talking about East Valley violence and yesterday the announcement of the designation of the Gilbert Goons as a street gang. Do you expect that the defense attorneys are going to push back really hard against this now? Is this something that you think that they will fight in cases?
Well, I mean, the defense attorney, there's always a defense when I'm teaching prosecutors and law enforcement. There's always going to be a defense and that's their job. And so they'll be pushing back against the designation if we would use it, certainly, and just say that, you know, I expect that they'll say this is a group of kids that are doing what kids, you know, do to an extreme. Obviously the jury's going to have to decide whether they buy that or not.
Will this change how law enforcement is able to investigate or how and when they can arrest suspects?
I think it's going to inform future law enforcement behavior because what we're seeing then, you use the word, or the Gilbert chief used the word hybrid, we're seeing a departure from those traditional gang, that traditional gang look. And I think it informs us for the future what a gang may look like and maybe a better way to investigate. Although they did a good job investigating this case, obviously we came up with a number of indictments, not just related to the homicide, but related to other violence.
And lastly, I think maybe this is the least important, maybe, is that there are many that are saying this doesn't sound like it's going to accomplish much. But what it's going to do is give these kids the street cred they were looking for originally by putting these things on the internet and trying to look tough, that this being designated a gang is going to give them what they wanted. How do you respond to that?
You know, I'll tell you the truth. That's something that I considered, that it put a name to it as opposed to just, as you heard me in my earlier press conferences say, these are crimes. But what I would say to the public is this. We have, in the Preston Lord case, seven individuals charged with first-degree murder. I mean, the focus has to be on the first-degree murder charges, and those obviously carry very stringent penalties. So that's our focus right now.
When it comes to parental involvement, I know there was a lot of talk about parental and some other people involvement in this murder case and a cover-up with at least one of the suspects. Can you give us any kind of an update on that?
Yes, there was a submittal related to a couple of parents that through one of the two parties, well, there were multiple parties, but one of two significant parties that were going that night. That's still under review. Obviously, when this case came in, our focus was going to be on the five cases that involve the homicide. As you know, we started up an investigative grand jury. And we're able to identify two additional individuals from that. So that is our priority, is the homicide and the other acts of violence.
I appreciate you on short notice doing this. The information I needed the clarification from your office because I was really confused by this, and I know other people were. So they're going to appreciate the clarification, and hopefully it clears up why this is happening and what it'll mean in the future.
Thanks, Mike. You know, and that's one of the reasons we're trying to, you know, do work quickly, but also work, you know, methodically, and make sure that we do this the right way and get the information that we need before we go ahead.
Appreciate it as always, and I hope you have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too, Mike.
All right, that is the county attorney, Rachel Mitchell, spending a few moments with us, kind of giving us a clarification of the designation hybrid gang doesn't matter much other than the just to explain, a clarifier, but also for everybody out there that's listening, what this might do in the sentencing phase and how it might be enhancements down the road if they can prove gang affiliation. We got a few minutes left in our work week. We're going to get on some big headlines, and we're going to catch up with Chris and Joe and find out what's happening 2 to 4 here on KTAR News. Stick around.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
My day, my week is almost over, but on the Chris and Joe Show, their week is just beginning. So that's 2 to 4 here on KTAR News. Joining me from the Chris and Joe Show, Joe Huizenga. Just had a conversation. I know you guys talked yesterday about the Gilbert Goon situation. Right before you walked in, we had a conversation with the county attorney about the clarification and what it means. Because I was very, very confused about that. I didn't understand why it needed to be a big press conference, and I didn't understand how this was going to help in any way.
I'm interested to hear this. What did she tell you?
Well, she talked about enhancements, that this could lead to sentencing enhancements at the end of trial. She wasn't being specific about any of these crimes, but that there are, if you are gang affiliated and you are furthering the cause of street gangs, it can add up to 3 years to your sentence in some cases. So she said in that way it could be helpful.
So I didn't get to hear your interview. Did she talk about why she wasn't there yesterday?
No, I didn't even ask her.
That stood out to both Chris and I, that was interesting. We're going to dive more in to the story yesterday regarding the street gangs. And we're really disappointed with Chief Solberg. Might be a phenomenal police officer, but we want to talk about leadership a little bit and just why the announcement yesterday was such a letdown for us. That, like you said, it felt really funny of, hey, we're going to say that it's a street gang, but we're not going to announce any charges at the time.
But also the other part of it was the descriptor of a hybrid gang and what that meant. And
versus a traditional gang.
Yeah. Yep. Which I guess I understand the distinction they're trying to make, but also, is it going to be trouble with a defense now? Because a defense, it sounds to me like a defense attorney is going to say, man, are they reaching here? They're trying to get something they're not entitled to. Like they're always going to do in court. And I don't have any of the answers, but Rachel Mitchell was pretty good. I hope you'll go back and listen to the interview because the clarification was very good from her. It made more sense when she talked about what it will do for her office than what I heard from the press conference yesterday and what it's going to do for law enforcement.
It would just potentially be additional charges.
Yeah.
Is what she told you.
Yeah, it could be. enhancements to the charge, to sentencing, enhancements to sentencing. The other part of it, and I asked her, and she was pretty candid about it, was the concern. I asked her, were you concerned that this is going to give these kids, these punks, what they wanted?
The goons.
They're trying to look tough. They're trying to look hard. And a designation of a gang, is that going to give them what they were looking for?
What'd she say about that?
She said she actually considered that, that it was a consideration. I don't think, obviously, didn't change the decisions on what they do, but it was a consideration that are we feeding into the making them look like they're tougher? In my opinion, I know maybe I'm wrong. These are dangerous kids.
No, I don't think you're wrong. You're certainly entitled to your opinion.
They killed Preston Lord, but...
Yeah.
I mean, I know some gang cops, the Gilbert Goons.
You and I, Mike, both very pro-cop. You've got family who's law enforcement. My grandfather was a police officer. And I don't feel like Gilbert's handled this right. And it leaves me with a lot of questions. I felt like he was coming at the media again yesterday, doing a little bit of victim blaming. And we want to dive into that. Now, I really just feel for the victims out there and feel like... there's so many cases where they still haven't arrested the kids, young adults, punks, call them whatever you want, who took, you know, what do you even want to say? Like beat up on other kids, just pounded them into the ground.
Right. And how much, but again, this is, we knew about idiots that did things like this. We know what bullies were when we were kids. So I'm not as upset with the police department at this. I just am confused. I didn't understand
it felt
the significance.
Weird to me if we've been hearing for months, are they a gang? Are they a gang? Are they a gang? And the expectation I had was if you're going to announce that they're a gang, a street gang, there will be additional charges that come out at the time.
If they would have done the job there of explaining, but it may not add charges. But what happens in the sentencing phase, and maybe they explained it and I didn't hear it, but in the sentencing phase, there are enhancements to sentencing if they can prove you're part of furthering the cause of a gang.
And Chris and I did speak with Barry Markson, our legal analyst here at KTAR, and he made that point that he said just why are you laughing about Barry?
Did Markson say, or was it a tweet or something, when he was being sarcastic and talked about a hybrid gang and asked if they were driving Priuses? Was that Markson?
Yes,
or was that,
okay. He did make that point. You want something even more embarrassing? Barry then texted Chris and I about that point and said he was getting a lot of positive feedback about that point.
It's just that I don't associate a lawyer with a good sense of humor, but that was a pretty good shot.
Oh, don't give him that.
That was funny.
Now he's going to reach out to you and me and talk about how much more traction his joke is getting.
But it was funny.
Oh, I will not give him that. You and I have both known him for way too long. I will not concede that to him.
All right, it's the Chris and Joe Show. It happens today, 2 to 4 here on KTAR News. I'm just about out of time. My show will be back on Monday morning. We start at just after 8 a.m. I hope you can join me. Keep in touch this weekend on social media and download the KTAR News app. God bless.